All right, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you. Glad that you're here. Welcome to all of you who are tuning in online, live streaming, or watching a playback of this. I love that you guys are connected. I continue to hear from more and more people saying, I watch, I listen, I'm always staying in tune. And so we just really, really deeply appreciate the connection. Thank God for technology, right, everybody? So we have the privilege to reach more people than our building currently allows. But also want to just want to welcome all of those in the room for braving the Florida cold. Come on, man, it's a frigid day out there. A lot of you guys that know me know I love this kind of weather. I pray for this stuff. I like gray days. I like north winds. I like breezes that cut through your clothing. This is what I'm into. I really, really embrace it and enjoy it. I know some of you guys cannot stand it. That's why you're in the state of Florida. You want sunshine and heat and humidity, which I think is the worst thing ever. But whatever. That's great. Listen, thanks for coming out anyway. It's really, really good to have you. It's really, really good to see you. I want to say this. If you're a first-time guest in the room, I just want to give you a very special welcome, let you know that we don't want you to feel like a visitor ever again. You are now a part of the family, so welcome. Come on, let's give it up for those. It's awesome to have you. That same thing would be true to those of you that are tuning in online. If this is your first time, thanks for stopping in. Thanks for checking us out. And we hope that today's message feeds you well. Okay, so we've been in a couple of things going on around the church, I should say. Like one, we're in a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. So again, if you're a guest, you would not know this. If you're a part of this church family, you would really know, like, all right, this is a season. This is normal for us. We start our year every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, which means we are separating ourselves from some things. Some of us are separating from food altogether. Some of us are separating from certain types of food. Some of us are separating from certain activities and so forth and so on. And here's what I want to say. I'm gonna let you into my own world here for a second, if that's okay. This is day 15 of 21. Day 15 of 21. How many of you guys? Yeah. How many of you guys are excited to hear that? We're being two-thirds behind us. I just want to give us some encouragement, all right? Last Sunday, I talked a little bit about it. I actually mentioned the attendance numbers day by day in our prayer services. We have been setting attendance records in our prayer services Monday through Saturday. So thank you guys for your engagement, for your involvement. Again, those of you tuning in online, live streaming or archiving it throughout the day, it's just been awesome, and we're just so thankful that you are connected and apart. And so here's what I want to say, though. This is me, all right? Here's what happens to Josh Hersey at day 15. At day 15, I start thinking more about day 22 than anything else. What tends to happen in my mind is I start to lean out a little bit. And this is just natural. Like I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I am craving a cheeseburger, y'all, like something. I mean, so bad. I just want that warm, buttery bun. I want that juicy, all beef patty, some cheese on that thing. I don't even know if I want vegetables on it at this point. I'm not sure. Come on, for our Daniel fasters. And so I know you guys are hating me right now. I just say this to say that here's what honestly tends to happen is at day 15, I really, my body, my mindset tries to lean out of this. And I start thinking, like, I'm already making plans. Like, what are we going to eat? Like, what's our first meal back? You know, what are we going to do? So my encouragement to myself, my encouragement to you and us is this, like, let's lean in. Let's lean in. It's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially if you've been sacrificing for this many days in a row, and you're probably really, really missing some things that you enjoy, that feed you. And so my encouragement to all of us, and I promise every time I preach to me and just hope it helps others. My encouragement is, man, let's lean in this final week and let's call on God. So let's, like, I don't want to see an attendance dip in prayer tomorrow night. I want to see us stay strong and continue to call. The reason I say that is because I just believe that God really wants to do something. The Bible says, this is not, I'm preaching, I'm not even in my message notes, but the Bible says that God so loved the world that he what? What'd he do? He gave. And what I want to say to you is this, that God is a giver. He is a generous God, and I think that what he wants to do is he wants to give some things into us. He wants to feed something in our spirit that we otherwise would not get without this sacrifice. And so I just want to encourage us, like, lean in this final week. Let's really, really call on God, because I believe God wants to do a great thing in our church this year, and I really want to encourage you not, let's don't miss it. Let's don't miss it, because we want that cheeseburger so badly. Come on, somebody. I know. But that day will come, and we'll get to enjoy it. But until then, let's lean in. Let's do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen, everybody? We can do it. We can do it. All right. Before I get into the message, what do you say we start with a little joke? Is that all right? A little joke? Guy's driving down the road. He's swerving a lot, and officer pulls him over and walks up to his window. He said, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the vehicle. I just have a strong suspicion that you've been drinking tonight. You kind of swerving all over the road. So if you would just step on out of the vehicle for me." And the guy steps out, you know, and he says, I'm going to want you to just blow right here into this breathalyzer." And the driver says, "Well, officer, I can't do that." And he said, "Well, why can't you do that?" And he said, "I'm an asthmatic. And if I blow into that breathalyzer, I could lose my breath and die right here on the side of the street." And he said, "Okay, well, all right, fine. All right, well, I got a different test. It's just a simple little blood test. I'm going to prick your finger and put a little blood on here, and it's going to tell me your blood alcohol level. So let's go ahead and do that." And he said, "Officer, I can't do that." And he said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because I'm a hemophiliac, and if you poke my finger, I could bleed out, and I'd die right here on the side of the road." Officer's like, "All right, fine. Well, I'll put this away." He said, "Well, sir, I'm going to need you to just do your best to walk down this sideline of the street. Just, I need you to walk a straight line down this road." And he said, "Well, officer, I can't do that." And he's frustrated, puts his hands up, says, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because I'm drunk." All right, that has nothing to do with anything. It's just funny. It's just funny. It's a good time to open in prayer. God, we love you. We do, and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house and to receive your word. Father, I just pray for every single person connected to this message, Lord God, whether they are tuning in online, live streaming, whether they're sitting in one of our rooms, or whether, God, they're just listening to a podcast or watching a playback of this later. God, your word is always on time for us, and we just ask and pray, God, would you deposit into us exactly what you want us to receive today? God, we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's get into it. You ready? So we're in a series we've been calling First Priority. First Priority. And the big idea is this, that as followers of Jesus, what we recognize is that Jesus should be over everything. He should, in fact, be the very first priority of our life. And this is where we've been starting. It's a verse quoting Jesus. He's being asked a question, and the question is, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He's like, put everything you've got into this relationship. And then he continues by saying, this is the what? What is it? The first and greatest commandment. It's the first priority. It's the highest of value, that Jesus should in fact be above all things in our lives. If you believe that, say amen. 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 And so here's what I've been kind of doing. We're in a new year. And we're in a new year, people like to set New Year's resolutions, right? And statistics, how many of you have some resolutions that have been set this year? Come on, where you at? Let me see your hands if you've set them. Good. Good for you. Good for you. I'm not going to be the guy that says don't do that, because statistics say that most of us will not maintain those resolutions beyond February. So that we run about a month, and then statistics say that the vast majority of us will stop with our resolutions by the second month of the year. I'm actually the guy that's on the other side saying, you can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. I actually believe that you can have a resolute mind enough that you can set a goal, you can set a mark, and you can achieve it. I just believe it's in you, and I want to encourage you to do it. And so in these messages, what I've really tried to do is break down a topic into something that is very, very simple. Simple. So I feel the more simple it is, the easier it is for us to grab. And then my hope and my heart is always to be very practical. So like if what I talk about doesn't help you in your real life, like at work, with people, in the home, if it doesn't impact you there, I really feel like I've wasted your time here. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to do my best today to be very practical and very simple. And so I'm actually going to bring up a topic that if you're a part of this church, you've probably heard me talk about before. But I want to talk to you today about what I call yes and no. Yes and no. And here's what I mean. Let me describe this a little bit. That I believe that many, many people have these ideas of what they want to achieve, things that they want to do, goals that they have set. And so in their heart and in their mind, they're saying, yes, I want to lose weight. Or yes, I want to save money. Yes, I want to make my spouse a priority again, whatever the goal might be. But here's my statement, my argument, if you will, that I believe that every yes should have a no attached to it. And every no should probably have a yes attached to it. Okay, so here's what I mean. If I'm going to say, and I'm using the same analogies you've heard me say before, if I'm going to say yes to waking up early in the morning, it would be in my best interest to say no to staying up late tonight. Every yes has a no. If I'm going to say yes to weight loss, I should say no to things that aren't going to help me do that, like certain types of food or not exercising or whatever, right? So yeses should have no's attached and no's should have yeses attached. So right now I'm saying no to certain foods or foods altogether or TV or social media or whatever it is that you've chosen to separate from in this season so that I can say yes to time with God. And by the way, if you're fasting and you're not eating or you're putting away something that you prefer and desire and you're also not spending time with God, you're just going hungry. That's not a good idea. So the no to food should have a yes attached. Yes, I'm going to spend some time with God. And so that's the idea that I want to kind of wrestle around with today is the idea of yes and no. And I think a lot of the reason that people don't achieve their goals, I think the reason that the stats are so high that I never actually commit to my New Year's resolution is because I say yes to a goal and I don't say no to the things that are counterproductive to that goal. I actually think it's the problem. And so if we could learn to attach yeses to no's and no's to yeses, I actually think that we could achieve our goals, whatever those might be, whatever that resolution might be, which for us collectively as a church is that in 2022, we just want Christ Jesus to be the first priority. So how are we going to do that? Let's get into it. Are you ready? So last night at prayer, one of our amazing serve team members, Wayne, led last night, and he spoke to us, and here's what he said. He said, What I'm going to give you tonight is like broccoli. That's what he said. How many of you guys were here? Y'all remember this, right? And he said that he got this from his former pastor before he moved into Florida. And his pastor would say that some messages are like chocolate cake. They're just really delicious and they're really sweet and everybody walks away happy. And then other messages sometimes are like broccoli. They're good for you. They're not quite as fun. They're not quite as joyful and delicious, but they're good for you. And I feel like today there's going to be some broccoli on the plate. Now, he self-identified last night and said, I'm serving you all broccoli, and it doesn't even have cheese. Didn't you say that? That's what he said. No cheese. All right, and I don't know if that's because we were fasting or if it's just because there wasn't additional flavor. I don't really know. I thought his message was fantastic. But today I'm going to put some broccoli on the plate. I'm going to try to sprinkle cheese on it for you, all right? And for those of us that aren't eating cheese right now, that sounds extra special. So as we talk about yeses and nos, I want to bring you to a very, very popular scripture, particularly when it comes to praying. I want to bring you to an Old Testament scripture out of the book of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to just break it down part by part, okay? And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people... My people, Jesus followers, right, is how we would identify that today. I'm a born-again Christian. However you want to title it, I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ. I am a Christian, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and I see the Bible full of this language when it talks about humility, that we humble ourselves, by the way, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And this is exactly what we're doing right now. If you're in a season of fasting, you're humbling yourself. It's humility to say, no, I will say no to this so that I can say yes to a deposit from the Almighty God. I'll say no to this luxury. I'll say yes to the pain. I'll say yes to the caffeine headache because I've drank it so many days in a row, and now I'm 3 or 4 days or 15 days without it, and I'm not quite normal because my body's so accustomed to it. I'm saying yes to that. I'm embracing that little bit of pain. It's humility. And so when we're in a season of prayer and fasting, this is exactly what we're doing. We're humbling ourselves, we're praying, and we're seeking God's face. We're calling on God. But there's more. There's more. The scripture goes on. See that dot, dot, dot? Come on, all my English students know what that means. There's more. There's more. And I just want to show you what comes next. And here's your broccoli. Here we go. If we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and there's more. This is the part, though, this is the part, though, that needs to be talked about a little. Amen. So listen, let me just tell you my heart, okay? I have this natural inclination. It's a natural. I can't help it. I don't have to work for it. It just comes to me. I'm always thinking about the first-time guest in our church. I'm always thinking about the person that doesn't do church, like it's not their normal. Like they don't exactly know what to expect or like what they're going to get. Or, you know, we kind of have like our church like Christianese, like we have a language to it that they might not know, or we have a certain comfort here that they might not have. And so I'm naturally always thinking about those people. Like, I want you to just feel relaxed and comfortable and welcome. And so because of that, myself and our team works really, really hard to put you at ease. Okay, we do. In fact, we think a lot about you, and we think about what you will experience here and how it will feel. And like, here's the big idea: like, we would love for you to come back. All right, I'm just putting all the cards on the table. Like, we just would love for you to be like, this place is pretty cool. I think there's might be more to this than just religion. I actually think there could be some value to a personal relationship with Jesus and becoming a disciple of his and walking in the ways that he would call me to walk. I think there's more. And so there's a lot of thought and intentionality that goes into that effort. Okay, conversely, there's a bunch of people, though, that church is your thing. Like, you've been in it a long time. And there comes this balance, too, where you're like, well, yeah, that's cool, and I'm thankful that we think about those because we're called by Jesus to be a witness to the lost, right? And, like, that's all good, but, like, take me deeper. Hey, I want to get down into it a little bit, and I want to deepen my spirituality. I want to become a more committed follower of Christ, right? And so my responsibility is to try to balance all of that with hundreds of people. My responsibility is to balance that. And so here's what tends to happen. If the church, and now I'm not talking about our church, I'm just talking about the church. Here's what can tend to happen if the church isn't careful. Is that if we are so focused on comfort and experience, that we'll never go deep enough to actually experience real change. And so personally, I don't feel that we've been guilty of that. Because I just believe the Bible's true, and if the Bible talks about it, we should talk about it. The Bible talks about everything, all of it. It talks about it. And so today, what I'm wanting to do is just kind of get into some of that, like, we're going to just swim down to the deep end of the pool, okay? And here's what the Bible is saying, is that in order for me to say yes to an authentic, genuine relationship with Jesus, I've got to say no to wicked ways, sinful things, distracting things. There is going to be a no attached when I say yes. And so I don't know if I have time for all this. And so saying a prayer at an end of a service, showing up to church on a regular basis, serving on a team, being a part of a life group, those are all really good things. Would you agree? They're really good things. But if I'm doing all those things, I'm saying yes to church, I'm saying yes to Jesus, I'm saying yes to groups, I'm saying yes to serving, but I'm not saying no to wicked ways, who am I really? Okay. All right. And remember, listen to me. I'm preaching to myself. I just hope it helps you. There are things in my life that I should say no to. And listen, I want you to just let the application today, you kind of have to decide and determine that. Because for some of us, it's vividly clear. We know. Oh, man, he's on it. The Holy Spirit is already creating some conviction in some hearts right now. And that's okay. Let that happen. But for others of us, like, it might be like, well, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. And so maybe it's more simple. And maybe it's not always sinful. Let me explain. Okay? Maybe it's just very simply that, you know what, instead of 3 hours of Netflix a night, maybe it's just two. And maybe one of those hours is reappropriated. So I'll say no to 3 hours so that I can say yes to 1 hour in some scripture reading, some study, some prayer, like to actually cultivate my relationship with Jesus. Am I making sense? So it's not even always that it's like bad stuff. It's just sometimes I need to say some no's because I'd really need to say some yeses. Because it's better for me to say yes to certain things sometimes. I don't always want broccoli, but it is good for me. So sometimes perhaps I should say yes. Am I making sense? Clearly I'm not talking about actual broccoli. Okay. All right. So the Bible tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, there's more than there's a promise, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land or restore. I haven't memorized this heal, all right, their land. And some of us, we just need God to do a work in us. We need some healing on the inside. I need something to change so that I can become who Jesus has called me to be. And so just for time, okay, I've kind of got to move on, okay? So it reads like this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's the promise. So I want to give you some practicality now, okay? So if you're a note taker, you can grab one of those sheets out of the seats in front of you, and you can write a couple things down with me. If you're not, that's perfectly fine. You just do your thing, okay? But I want to give you this, that the Bible says that if I say yes to pursuing Christ Jesus, it comes with some extreme benefits. And here's one of them, right out of Scripture. The Bible tells us something about walking with Christ, pursuing Jesus. And it says that God is working in you, giving you, watch, both the desire and the power to do the things that please him. Not only will he give you the power to do it, he'll give you the desire to do it. Like something will start to transform. When I say yes to a relationship and a walk with Christ Jesus, when I truly say yes, like I'm in, I will let you have your way. I will let you do your thing. Something starts to change on the inside. Not only is my willpower increased, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Like there's loads of promises in God's word about the victory of the Christ follower, lots of it. But not only will he give me the power because of Christ Jesus in me, he will give me the desire. Like I want to please you. God, God, I want to do the things that make you smile and make you happy. Like, I want to be closer to you. And some of us struggle with that because we actually believe that if I say yes to Jesus, then I'm going to have to say no to fun and excitement and like things that I like. But God so loved the world that he's a giver, everybody. He wants to give you life and give you life to the okay, I some of the people know the word of God. And so for me to think that if I say yes to Jesus, that means I'm going to have to say no to every fun and good thing, it simply isn't true. There not only becomes a power to walk with God and overcome the things in my life that God wants to change, but there's a desire in me to actually do it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So here comes the practicality. I got to move quick. All right? Now we're going to talk about what and who. What and who? Okay, here we go. Write some things with me if you're ready. All right, I'm going to encourage you to focus less on what you want to change. So like, I want to lose weight. I want to stop smoking. I want to save money, whatever it might be. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, okay? I'm going to say focus less on what you want to change, and I'm going to encourage you to focus more on who you want to become. Okay, one of my heroes in the faith, he often says this, that he says, don't set do goals, set who goals. So too many times we're focused on what we want to achieve instead of who we want to become. And so the challenge, the practical challenge today is that we just reappropriate how we think about it. So instead of thinking of what to achieve, I'll think of who to become. Let me give you some examples. I got some stuff in my notes. I don't use paper notes often, but I'm just, like, for example, a what goal would be, I don't want to spend as much money. That's a what goal, okay? But a who goal might say, I'm a good steward of what I earn. Because I'm a good steward, I do save money. I don't spend impulsively. It's not because it's what I'm trying to achieve. It's because it's who I am, okay? A what goal might say that I want to lose weight. A who goal might say I'm a healthy and active person. And so because I'm healthy, I choose not to eat that because it's not who I am. Because I'm a healthy and active person, I get into motion and I do some things, and then what happens is the what shows up because of who I'm becoming. Just a couple more examples. A what goal might be to get better grades. A who goal would be that I'm a focused and disciplined student. It's different. And so I'm not just hoping that my crash study on the night before the exam pays off. I'm just a disciplined and focused student. I just retain this information over the course of time because it's who I am. Right. Quick example, just one more, is that if someone was to say, hey, do you want a cigarette? And then you would say, I'm trying to quit. I want you to just recognize, just psychologically, that what you've done, whether you intended to or not, is identified yourself as a smoker trying to quit. Right. Perhaps you change that language and you say something more to the effect of, no, thank you, I am not a smoker. Because it's not who I am. Now, maybe it's okay to say, like, well, I used to be, but it's not who I am anymore. Because instead of focusing so much on what I'm trying to do, I will focus more on who I'm trying to become. And if I focus more on who I'm trying to become, then it'll determine what my life looks like. And I know this is really practical. But I'm gonna land the plane right here. Are you ready? All right, I'm gonna give you a verse that I think is essential for every Christian person to understand. To all who did receive him, the Christians, Christ followers, to those who believed in his name, Christians, Christ followers, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me explain this very plainly. This is who you are. It's who you are. I am a child of God. That's who I am. And because I am a child of God, I know exactly how to say yes and how to say no. I choose to say no and connect a yes to it. I choose to say yes and connect a no to it because it's who I am. It's not what I do. Is this making sense? This is my simple, prayerfully practical challenge to us all. Is the question is, who? Who is God calling you to be? What has God deposited on the inside of you that you just think, there's more? I sense it, it's in there, there's more. Something beckons me to keep going because I believe for me, there is more. Some of us are in a place in our lives where we know there's more because we've experienced it before. It's like, I know there's more because I've had more. Some of us, maybe we're so new to the idea of walking with Jesus, it's a little bit foreign, and we're like, I don't exactly know how to figure this out, but I'm going to tell you something. He will give you both the desire and the power to do the things that please him. For those who call on his name, that received him, who are you? You are a child of God. And this is an important thing to know when the accuser comes. That's what the Bible calls Satan. Because he's going to come and say things like, you know you're not going to lose that weight. Come on, you tried this last year and you tried this the year before, and you know. Come on, how many times have you tried to quit smoking? Come on, you know you're a smoker. And he's an accuser. You know that you're not a good student. Your sister was, but you are not. It's not, and then you get the opportunity to say, I know who I am. I am a child of God. And being a child of God brings to us every benefit of living in our Father's house, which is safety, security, and peace, and victory. And so what we're going to do is we're going to determine, God, who are you calling me to be? Who are you calling me to be? Great, then that's who I will become. And I will purpose to change who I am, not what I want to do. And I will change into the image and the likeness of Jesus. This is what followers of Christ are called to do. It's to change into his image. And he does it. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, but, what if I mess up? Like, what if I don't get it right? What if it's a fight? Like, I'm trying to change who I am, but this, it's like baggage hanging on me. It's like it's chained to me. Come on, I know it's resonating with some people. I've wanted so long, I've been praying, I hope this is my desire, but man, I can't seem to get it. Okay, here it is, you ready? This is perhaps one of my favorite verses in the Bible because of the promise that's made to me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, watch what God does. He is faithful and he's just. That's big. I could probably teach a series just on that word from this verse. I want you to notice what he does. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Listen to me, follower of Jesus. Listen to me, person who is in fact a child of God. Listen to me, the person that's saying, I'm trying to become who God has called me to be. This is your promise. So every time you do make a mistake, and you will. Every time you do mess it up, and you will. Why? Because we're just imperfect people following after a very perfect God. And so when we mess up, and when we fall, and when we stumble, and when we're embarrassed, and when we're ashamed, and when we feel like, I can't believe I did this again, we are by faith gonna take God's word, not by how we feel about it, not by how we feel about us, but by faith in the promise of God's word, that I will go back to my Father and I will say, Father, I've sinned. This is what I did, and I know it was wrong, and I didn't mean to, but I keep struggling, and I'm fighting, and I'm becoming your child, and I'm becoming an overcomer, and I'm becoming a conqueror. But God, this is my sin. He's faithful, and he will forgive us, and he will purify us. Stand on that promise. Stand on it and receive it. And when the enemy comes to accuse, and the enemy says, oh, you'll never change. Oh, you'll never change. You just say, hey, 1 John 1:9, homie, I know who I am, and I know what I've got, and I know how to receive the promises from my God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. But what if you're listening to this message and you're not a Christ follower? I have a verse for you. It's 1 John 1:9. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you something, that the promises of God are to all people. They're not to church people. They are to all people. And the promises of God extend to you. Stop disqualifying yourself. Stop writing yourself off. Stop thinking you're not good enough or you don't know enough. Listen to me carefully. God hasn't written you off. The church should not write you off. And quite frankly, neither should you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, please, I want to do something that we do every Sunday here. It's a point of life change. And what I want to do is give the people in the room who, maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe the whole time you're like, well, I'm not a follower of Christ. Something on the inside of you sensed, I want to be. I'd like to be. Let me tell you something. Today's your day. Today is, in fact, the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. And so what I want to do is encourage you to do one thing with me, just one. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do this morning is say a prayer with me. That's it. I won't ask you to stand or raise your hand. We're not going to ask you to come to the front or any of that stuff. But I would love for you to just agree with me in prayer. And so what I do is I have a prayer that I like to pray, and I always ask everybody in the church to repeat this prayer out loud with me. And the reason I ask everybody to do it is because I want those of you that are saying it for the first time to be able to say it with complete confidence. This is your moment, and this entire service has been built to this point of decision for you. And so this is the prayer, and I'm going to ask every voice, and some people are going to say it for the very first time. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, let's celebrate those that made that decision. Congratulations, wherever you may be. So proud of you. Listen, our church wants to help you in this journey. We want to help you take next steps. If you would, stick around a couple of more minutes. Our news is going to tell you how we can do that. Love you.